Hebrews chapter number 4 is where we're at. We've been learning from this little series of messages that God invites us to come to His throne. And described in Hebrews chapter number 4, in the very last verse of that chapter, as the throne of grace. There's there at the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy. The Bible tells us that we can find grace to help in our time of need. In this series of messages, we have focused on our priest. The Bible tells us about the one who is sitting upon the throne of grace. He is our great high priest, the one who has passed through the heavens. The Bible tells us in verse 14 of this chapter, is Jesus the Son of God. And this is the one, the Bible tells us in verse 15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In all points, He was tempted like as we are, yet the Bible says He's still without sin. And He is our great high priest. He's the one who is seated there upon the throne. And then we also begin to look at what I called our profession. The Bible tells us in verse number 14 that since we have this great high priest, the one who has defeated death, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand, is the one who is seated there at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Bible tells us that because of that, that we can hold fast our profession. That is that when times get hard, we don't have to give up. And whenever days get difficult, we don't have to give out. We don't have to quit believing what we believe and worshiping the way that we worship and following Christ the way that we're following Him, that we can hold fast to our profession. And then we began looking not only at our priest and our profession, but also at our praying. When the Bible invites us in verse 16 to come boldly to the throne of grace, we discovered that this is inviting us to come into the presence of God in prayer. We don't come to the throne of grace by getting in an automobile and traveling to a certain location, but by bowing our heart and by seeking God and experiencing God in prayer. Just a reminder to you that when I'm talking about praying, I'm not talking about just saying prayers or reading prayers, but I'm talking about experiencing God in prayer. That is, experiencing the presence and the power of God as we bow our hearts before Him and walk with Him in prayer. As we've been focusing on our praying, we've discovered, first of all, the person that prayer seeks. And that is, the Bible tells us in verse 16 to come boldly to the throne of grace. And whenever we do, we're not just coming to a place, but we're coming to a person. And that is the person who is seated upon the throne. That is the person of the Son of God Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying is coming to Him. It is seeking Him. We also discovered the possessions that prayer receives. In verse 16, the Bible tells us there that when we come to the throne of grace, when we encounter God in prayer, that it is then that we can obtain mercy, and it is then that we can find grace. That is, the mercy and the grace of God can become our possession. And as we get alone with God and seek Him in prayer, mercy and grace that helps us in our time of need is available to us when we come to God in prayer. So we've been looking at the person that prayer seeks and the possessions that prayer receives. And we talked about the privilege that prayer exercises. And that is, we discovered with the word boldly in verse number 16, that coming to God in prayer is a privilege. That is, it is a privilege of authority. That is, we have the right to come to Him. And the reason why is because of who we are in Christ, because of our relationship to Christ, the Savior and Lord of our life, the one who died, rose again, ascended to the right hand, and the fact that we are in Him and He is in us, we have the right to come to Him. We have a wonderful privilege that we need to exercise. That is, when we pray, we're exercising this wonderful privilege that is ours in Christ. We also looked at the potential that prayer provides. And that is, we spent some time just talking about the fact that when we come to God in prayer, when we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and we'll find grace to help in time of need. And I said that indeed, that when we come to God in prayer, there's the potential of experiencing heaven's help. That is, the potential of receiving help is found right there at the throne of grace. As a matter of fact, it's just no telling what God might do in the life of an individual, in the life of a church, in the life of a family, in the life of a society, when God's people get to praying. That is, the help of heaven that is the omnipotent God of heaven, who is able to do anything that He wills to do, can help us in any way that we need help if we'll just learn to come boldly to the throne of grace. And then in the last messages, I begin to focus for a little while on the people that prayer helped. In other words, when the Bible tells us here that we can find grace to help in our time of need, we began looking at some of the people that prayer helped. That is, we began looking in the Bible at examples in the Scripture of those people that experienced this very, the very principle that we're reading about here in Hebrews 4:16. And that is the principle of coming to God, coming boldly to His throne of grace, and encountering Him and discovering His help. The Bible is full of people and examples of people who found help whenever they came to God in prayer. I gave you from the Old Testament the top 10. Now, there are many more, but in the last service, I talked about the top 10 people in the Old Testament that received help from God. That is, they came to Him in a time of desperation. They came to Him with great needs in their life, with no answers to their need, and they came to God, and they began to seek Him in prayer, and God helped them. I gave you the top 10 from the Old Testament in the service last Sunday. So I want to speak to you for a little while this evening on just the top 10 from the New Testament. Talking about the prayer, the people that prayer helped. That is, folks who in the New Testament who just had a great need in their life, and a need that they found no answer to until they came to God and began to seek God, and they began to find out that God is the one who can meet their need. There are many people that we could be talking about. There are many people that we could be looking at in the Old Testament. Many people that experienced the help of God whenever they began to pray. And there are many people that we looked at in the Old Testament, but there are also many that we can look at as we examine what the Bible tells us in the New Testament as well. When we looked at the Old Testament, we talked about Moses and Hannah and Samuel and David and Elijah and Elisha and Hezekiah and Manasseh and Ezra and Daniel that got alone with God and they found the help of God. In the New Testament, we start out in the New Testament by meeting a man in Luke chapter number 1 whose name is Zacharias. And Zacharias has a wife whose name is Elizabeth. They remind me of Hannah in the Old Testament we looked at in the last service. And Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were also like Hannah. They were unable to have children. And God had shut up the womb of Elizabeth just like He had with Hannah in the Old Testament. Like Hannah in the Old Testament, God was getting ready to do a great work. That is, just like Hannah brought into the world in the Old Testament, one of the greatest prophets, that is Samuel, that ever walked on this planet. Even so, in the New Testament, we find that it's going to be Zacharias and Elizabeth who's going to bring into this world the one that Jesus said was indeed the greatest man, the greatest prophet ever born among women. I'm talking about the man named John the Baptist. But I tell you that before John the Baptist was ever conceived, before John the Baptist was ever born, God shut up the womb of this woman, and this couple was unable to have children. God allowed them to get in a position of real need in their life. As a matter of fact, the only hope that they had and the only help that they could find is just by praying. And you might remember that in Luke chapter number 1 that as Zacharias was carrying out his priestly duties, he was a priest. And as he was carrying out his priestly duties in Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and revealed to him that indeed his wife was going to conceive. And even though they had never been able to have a child, and even though they were well past childbearing years, that she was going to conceive and she was going to give birth to a son, and this son is going to be the one that was promised in the Old Testament that we would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And there's a verse there that's very interesting to me in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 13. When this angel appeared to Zacharias, the Bible says in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, verse 13, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And then the angel continued to reveal the special place, the special role that John would have as he would become the forerunner of the Christ, that is, of the Messiah. But what I want you to see there is that apparently Zacharias had been praying. Apparently he had been seeking God, because the angel announced that indeed his prayer had been heard, and that the angel had come to announce that his wife would conceive and would bear this wonderful son that would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And the reason why is because apparently Zacharias had been praying. What I want you to see is this principle that we've seen over and over again. And that is that there are times in the lives of the righteous that God will allow us to get at a point of need. There's times when God will shut up things around us and shut us up as well, just to create a need in our life so that we'll begin to seek Him and begin to walk with Him in prayer and begin to experience Him in prayer. Listen, when God gets ready to do something great, He always begins with people that have a deep sense of need and begin to seek Him in prayer. Every great spiritual awakening that's ever taken place, if it was a real spiritual awakening, always begins with people on their face with a deep sense of need that are praying and seeking after God. And just as God worked in the life of Zacharias, gave him a burden on his heart, a need in his life, and he's seeking God in prayer, and in answer to his prayer, God did a great work, and his wife conceived and a son was brought into the world. I love the story there at the beginning of the New Testament. That is, it confirms what you read throughout the Old Testament, and that is that God creates a need so that His people begin to seek Him so that He can meet that need through the prayers of His people. We have the example here of Zacharias. We also have the example of the disciples. Now, there are many examples concerning the disciples, but we find one great one that I've referred to in previous messages in Matthew chapter number 8. It's also recorded in Mark and Luke's gospel as well. But we find in Matthew chapter number 8, we find the story of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of that raging storm. You remember the story, don't you? Jesus told them to get into the boat and they were going to go to the other side. And the Bible says that Jesus got into the boat, His disciples got in, and Jesus went to the back part of the boat, and He went to sleep. And the Bible says there arose a great tempest in verse number 24 in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He, that is Jesus, was asleep. So there they are in the boat. They're traveling across the Sea of Galilee. It is not their first trip across the Sea of Galilee. As a matter of fact, when you read the Gospels, you'll find out that in the early part of our Lord's ministry, they're always passing back and forth over the Sea of Galilee from one side to another. And these men, many of them who were in the boat, were experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They knew all about sailing on the Sea of Galilee. But the Lord told them to get in the boat. They were setting sail. They were going to the other side. And while they were on their way to the other side, they encountered this storm. I love this little story because it just reminds me that sometimes the Lord will set us sail right in the direction of a storm. Don't you know that Jesus knew this storm was coming? Don't you know that He knew that it was brewing? Don't you know that when He told them to set sail that they would encounter that storm? Why, of course He knew that. And yet Jesus told them anyway. You know, sometimes God will create a need in our life. It may be a barren wife, or it may be a raging storm, but God creates a need in our life. And that's what He did with these disciples. There they are on the Sea of Galilee now, in the middle of the storm. The storm got so bad. No doubt they were doing everything they could to make it through the storm and lightening the boat, trying to ride out the waves, doing everything they could in the middle of that storm. But ladies and gentlemen, it got to a point that finally realized that all hope was gone, and they came to Jesus. And the Bible says that they woke Him up and said, "Lord, save us, save us. We are perishing." And indeed they were. They were about to die in the middle of that storm, and they cried out to the Lord. They had no other hope, no other place to turn to. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke up and asked them why they were so afraid. "What are you so afraid of, O ye of little faith?" Why are you so afraid? Listen, when Jesus tells you that you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. Makes no difference what storm comes, and no matter how bad it gets, you're going to the other side. Why are you so afraid, and why are you so faithless? Why is your faith so small? And the Bible says he got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea. Another gospel writer says he just spoke, "Peace, be still." And miraculously the storm stopped and there was a peace on the Sea of Galilee like there had not been in a long time. And these men are absolutely amazed, want to know, what kind of a man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Listen, when you find yourself in the middle of a raging storm, when you find yourself in a situation where you've done all you can to try to ride it out and get through it, and yet it seems like that you're still drowning in your circumstances, the Bible invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. That's what the disciples did. That's what they're doing. Their throne of grace is in a boat, and they're crying out to the great King who is there in the boat with them. And the Bible indicates to us there that Jesus heard their cry, and he calmed their storm. We're just trying to look at some examples in the New Testament of people that encountered Christ in prayer and received the help that they need. You can look at the example of Zacharias and his great need for the Lord to open the womb of his wife. You can look at the example of the disciples in the middle of that raging storm. One of the examples that I like is the example of the publican in Luke chapter number 18. Listen to this one. This man's need is a little bit different. And that is that his great need in his life is not for a son to be born. His great need in his life is not for a calm in the middle of a storm. But the great need that he had in his life is to be right with God. And that is that this is a man who's a sinner and he needs to be saved. That is, he needs righteousness. And the Bible tells us here that he went down to the temple to pray. That is, he went to seek after God. And he went along, by the way, with a Pharisee who went about the same time. And the Pharisee, according to Luke 18, beginning in verse number 10, the Pharisee prayed. He stood there and he prayed with himself. And he was thankful that he wasn't like other men are. He wasn't an extortioner or an unjust or adulterer, or even as this publican. And the Pharisee began to talk about how good he was. He began to impress God with the fact that he fasted twice in the week, gave tithes of all that he possessed. This guy was thoroughly impressed with himself. And he wanted God to be impressed with him as well. And his prayer life was nothing more than him showing off for God, trying to convince God about how good he was. He was a man who trusted in himself, according to the previous verses, but not so this publican. This man had a deep sense of his sin. This man had a need in his life that he couldn't fulfill for himself. He needed to be right with God, but he couldn't make himself right with God. And so the Bible tells us there that the publican, verse 13, standing afar off. The Bible says he wouldn't even draw near. He stood way off. He wouldn't even lift up as much as his eyes to heaven. But here's what he did. He smote upon his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know what he did? He came to the throne of grace and he began to cry out to God for mercy. That's what the Bible tells us to do in Hebrews 4:16, to come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. And he did. He came to the throne of grace and, ladies and gentlemen, the great need in his life was met. He needed to be right with God, but he couldn't make himself right. His sin was too great. He just cried out for mercy. And the Bible says in verse 14 of that chapter that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. In other words, the Pharisee went back home ungodly and unrighteous, but it was the publican who went back home justified or right in the sight of God. And here's the reason why. Because he came to the throne of grace and he found mercy there. Mercy for a man who was a sinner, an ungodly man, an unrighteous man. And yet the Bible says that with this great need in his life, he came to him, he came to the Lord, he came to the throne of grace, and he found the mercy that he needed. That is, he was declared righteous, he received righteousness as a free gift of mercy that day. Listen to me now, there are some of you that are listening, and you're in the same situation that this publican is in, and that is that you are ungodly, and your sense of sin is weighing heavy on your heart, and you know that you're not right with God, and you say, "I don't know what to do." You need to come to the throne of grace. There's only one person that can help you. He's the one who is sitting upon that throne. He's the one who died for you on the cross. He's the one who was raised from the dead. He's the one who ascended to the right hand. He's the one that can forgive you and cleanse you and make you right in the sight of holy God. If you'll come to Him, He can redeem your soul and save you and justify you and make you right in the sight of God. Listen, He'll meet your need. Just come to Him. You see, in the New Testament, we're finding some examples of those people that prayer helped. Zacharias, whose wife was unable to have a son. The disciples in the middle of a raging storm. A publican who's too sinful to make himself right with God. We see Jesus overwhelmed in His suffering. Over in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter number 22, our Lord set the example for us Himself, didn't He? In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 39, you remember this story. The Bible says that He came out and went as He want to the Mount of Olives. Jesus did. He traveled out of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And He kneeled down. And Jesus prayed. He began to pray. And here's what He said as He prayed, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And the Bible says in verse 43 that there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm just trying to get you to see our Savior. You see, the will of God led our Savior to the overwhelming suffering for our sins. And that suffering that he experienced at the cross began to weigh heavily upon Him as He traveled there to the garden. He was overwhelmed with the suffering to the point of the garden that the Bible says that He had an angelic visitor who came and strengthened Him to help Him make it through the agony of the garden. We focus much on the agony of the cross, but here we find Him in the agony of the garden. And that is overcome. He told His disciples in another gospel that His soul was sorrowful even unto death. And God sent an angel from heaven to strengthen Him through that experience so that He could go to the cross and die for our sins on the cross. What I'm trying to get you to see is in those hours of overwhelming sorrow, our Savior did what He's telling us to do in the book of Hebrews, and that is that He began to pray. He began to pray, "Not my will, but Thine be done." He began to surrender Himself to the will of the Father as He prayed there in the garden. We don't know what else He prayed, but we know that He prayed, "Thy will be done." So we know this, and that is the agony that He experienced in the garden and the agony that He experienced at the cross. All of that agony was the will of the Father. Now, I know that there are those who would tell you that God would never will for you to suffer. But I say to you that when you follow the storyline of Scripture, that many times the will of God leads us straight into a storm. It'll lead us straight into suffering. And many times for you and I, the reason why that God allows that to come into our life is so that we'll follow the example of our Savior and so that we'll bow ourselves before God and even in agony of soul and great need in our life. So we'll cry out to Him and get surrendered to His will, get surrendered to His direction, get surrendered to His purpose for our life. And there was never a time that Jesus was never right in the center of the will of the Father. But unfortunately, many of us sometimes we can get out of the center of the will of God for our lives in certain areas. And God allows us to go through times in our life where we desperately need Him. And it is there that we get surrendered to His will and His purpose for our lives. We have the example of Zacharias. And we have the example of the disciples. And we have the example of the publican in Luke 18. We have the example of Jesus here in Luke chapter number 22. We have the example of many early New Testament believers in the book of Acts. Let's look at one of the examples in Acts chapter number 4. In Acts chapter number 4, you remember the story there, and that is the disciples, that is the early church, are being intimidated by the Jewish leaders. That is, the authorities of the day are intimidating the church and the church leaders, the early church, and that is Peter and John and the other apostles in the early church. They're intimidating them by commanding them not to preach. That is, no longer can they preach this message. They don't have the authority to go into the temple like they were doing and healing people like they were healing them. They don't have the authority to go and preach the resurrection. It was not an approved message by the Jewish leaders, by the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees of that day. They didn't believe what they believed. And so they were forbidding them. They gathered them together and they commanded that they stop preaching. No longer can they preach anymore this message. And the Bible tells us here that whenever they got out of the presence of those Jewish leaders, the Bible says they gathered together and they began to pray. The leaders of the church got together and they began to go to God in prayer. And they lifted up their voices, according to verse 24. They lifted up their voice in one accord, that is to God. And they began to pray. And as they were praying, listen to me now, God began to move among them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know which way to turn. And they got to praying, and the Bible says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now listen, that's what they needed. That is, they were being intimidated by the authorities of that day. They were being commanded not to preach about Jesus anymore. And the Bible tells us here that they needed help from heaven. They needed the Spirit of God to give them boldness. They needed God's help, and so they got to praying, and as they were praying, God began to move, and God began to shake things up, and the Spirit of God began to operate and fill them up. And ladies and gentlemen, they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see, and that is that we may have the same kind of need they did. And that is that we may need the same kind of boldness that they had. We may need to be filled with the Spirit of God just like they were. As a matter of fact, I would dare say that may be the greatest need that many who are listening to this message have in their life is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Why don't you just do what they did? And why don't you just bow before God and begin to pray and begin to seek Him? Just come boldly to the throne of grace and you may find the help you need if you'll just begin to pray. Indeed, Zacharias got help when he prayed. The disciples in the middle of their storm found help when they came to the Lord. The publican who was so unrighteous and ungodly found mercy when he came to the throne of grace. Jesus, in that overwhelming sorrow, found strength as he prayed and submitted himself to the will of the Father. The early church, when they were being intimidated and need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, found boldness and the filling when they began to pray. I think about a man that's featured in the New Testament named Cornelius. In Acts chapter number 10, you'll read about this gentleman. The Bible tells us that the greatest need he had in his life was to hear the gospel. In Acts chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 1, it says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. And one that feared God with all of his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God. Listen to this. And prayed to God always. This is a man who is praying. He is seeking after God. Now he doesn't know the Lord yet. He hasn't met Jesus yet. He has not received Christ yet, but I tell you that he is praying and he is seeking after God. God's been doing a work in his heart and now he's seeking him. And in verse number 3 it says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers, listen to this, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. In other words, all of a sudden now, this man who needed to hear the gospel, this man who needed to know about Jesus, he's been seeking God. He's a religious man who's been giving and seeking after God, and yet he did not understand, he did not know, and yet God heard his prayers, and God answered, and God told him, send your men to go find Simon, this one that is called Peter, at Simon the tanner's house, and he will help you. And if we reread the rest rest of the chapter, you'll find out that this Gentile from Caesarea, the Bible tells us that Peter came and he shared the gospel with him. The message is recorded right there in Acts chapter number 10. And when he got done preaching, this man, the Bible tells us, Cornelius, he received Christ, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saved that day in his household. And ladies and gentlemen, the gospel door is now open to the Gentiles in Acts chapter number 10. What I'm trying to get you to see is here's a man that needed help, and he began to pray. And God heard his prayer, and he sent an apostle named Peter. Oh, listen, I'm trying to give you some examples from the New Testament of just some people that prayer helped. I've said to you that Zacharias got help from the Lord and for his wife when he began to pray in Luke 1. The disciples received help in the middle of the storm when they came to Christ. The publican also received help, overwhelmed by his sin. And he began to come to the throne of grace and seek God, and the Lord made him righteous. Jesus received strength in Luke 22 in that hour of overwhelming sorrow. The early church was filled with the Spirit when they prayed in Acts 4. Cornelius, listen, God sent a pastor, a preacher, an apostle to him named Peter whenever because he prayed and was seeking after God. Speaking of Peter, he learned that if you pray, God will help you as well. Some of you remember Peter in Acts chapter number 12. And there's a story there that's pretty interesting in the fact that Herod, the Roman leader of the area, decided that he was going to please the Jewish leaders, and he did that by persecuting the church. And so he killed James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. And he killed him with the sword. You remember the story? It's a familiar one to many of you. The Bible says that the Jewish leaders were so happy with what Herod did that he decided that he would do it again. And so he arrested Peter. And the Bible tells us that while Peter was in jail, God's people began to pray. Listen to this. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. He delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers. I mean, listen, there are soldiers that are guarding this guy to keep him or to guard him. Listen now, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So after their celebrations were over, after the Passover and all the celebrations were over, then they were going to bring him forth. That is, he was going to have him killed. But the Bible says in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There he is now. He's in prison. Just about the same time of year that you and I are celebrating the celebrations that we're having, he was there in prison. But the Bible says that the church began to pray. They had a great need in their life. And the reason why is because their leader, Peter, is in jail. That is the one who has emerged as a primary leader in the church. The one that God has put his hand on to strengthen and to feed his sheep. This one named Peter now is in jail, and he's going to be executed as well. And so they didn't know what to do. Listen, there was no way they could break him out of jail. The Bible tells us here that he was surrounded by these soldiers guarding him. They couldn't break him out of jail. There was not a thing they could do. Listen, they were in great need in their life. And so you know what they did? They started praying. They just started praying. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us here they prayed without ceasing, which seems to indicate that they didn't just say a little prayer and then go along with their normal course of life. But instead, they got alone with God and prayed and did not stop. As a matter of fact, they decided to gather together at a certain house. And there they are, the believers gathered together, and they're praying. They're having an all-night prayer meeting, and they are seeking after God in that prayer meeting. And while they're there praying, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord shows up. Listen, the church may not be able to break this man out of jail, but God can. And so the Bible says that he sent an angel, and the angel of the Lord showed up, and the Bible tells us that he broke him out of jail, and the chains fell off. And the doors were opened, and he walked right out of that jail. Listen, he was about half asleep when he got out of the jail. He finally got to himself, and God woke up enough to know that he wasn't seeing a vision, that this was really happening. What an amazing story when he went to the door of that home and knocked on the door, and the little girl opened the door, and there was Peter standing there, and she shut the door and went in to tell everybody, and they thought that she must be having some kind of an illusion herself. himself, and Peter is still standing there knocking on the door. Folks, listen to me now. Prayer will help things. When God's people find themselves back against a wall, when they find themselves in great need, say, Pastor, why would a sovereign God allow for James to be killed and allow Peter to be put into prison? Why would God allow those kind? I mean, God could have stopped it, but he didn't. Why did God allow it to happen? Well, I believe one of the reasons was so that these folks would get on their face and begin to pray and see the mighty hand of God that they would not have otherwise seen if God hadn't allowed that to happen. You know, sometimes God will do that to us. And that is, he'll back us into a corner. We'll find ourselves in a situation where we can't help ourselves, and the others who love us can't help us as well. But God can. When you begin to pray and begin to seek God, when you begin to come boldly to the throne of grace, you can find the grace that will help you in your time of need. There's an amazing story concerning Peter and a woman named Tabitha. In Acts chapter number 9, let me show you this story. I'm trying to give you the top 10. I've already given you 7. I'm number 8. Listen to Acts chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. I mean, this woman is a believer who loved God and loved the people of God and served them. As a matter of fact, it came to pass in those days, verse 37, that she was sick and died. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, and as forasmuch as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent to him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So they send some people to find Peter. And the Bible says in verse number 39, that Peter rose and he went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. I'm talking about the upper chamber where Tabitha's body is lying. She's dead. And her body is laying there, and they bring Peter up there, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And that is, they're having kind of memorial service, and they've all got the articles of clothing this woman made for them because the widows couldn't afford anything. And so she made articles and clothing for them. She was a gracious woman that loved God and loved the people of God. There they all are, have a memorial service there in the upper chamber. But the Bible says in verse number 40 that Peter put them forth. That is, he told them to leave. Told him to get out of to move on out. Give him some space. And the Bible says that after he did that, he kneeled down. And you know what he did? The Bible says right there in verse number 40, that he prayed. Now when he knelt down in that upper chamber and began to pray, he was coming to the throne of grace. There was a great need, a great woman who had ministered to those, so many who had died. And there he was, praying. Now, I don't know how God did this, but somehow, Peter, as he was praying, understood what the will of God was. And when he understood the will of God, the Bible says that he turned to the body, and he said, Tabitha, arise. And ladies and gentlemen, she opened her eyes. What a moment! Opened her eyes. And then she saw Peter, she sat up. Can you imagine? No wonder he told everybody to get out. They would have had a heart attack if they'd have stayed in there. She rose up from that bed that she was lying on. And the Bible said that Peter gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. What a moment. God raised a woman from the dead. You say, Pastor, you really believe that that might have... I mean, do you believe that really happened? I believe it happened just like the Bible tells us that it happened. It's not a problem for God to raise the dead. Not a problem. Just ask Lazarus about that. Peter began to pray and found out that God can do great things when you pray. Paul found that out as well. My number 9 example is Paul. Paul discovered in his life that when you find yourself in a great need, if you get to praying, God will hear and God will help you. You remember the story in Acts 16, whenever him and Silas was thrown into the prison in Philippi? The Bible tells us there that as the resistance of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel in the city of Philippi got to the point that he was arrested. And he wasn't just arrested, but he and Silas were beaten. And then they were thrown into the prison of Philippi. And while they were down there in the jail of Philippi, they were made fast in the stocks. They were chained down in the prison. And all of a sudden, Paul and Silas at about midnight, according to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, at about midnight, they got to praying and they got to singing and praising God. Listen, these guys are in a great need in their life. Listen, when you look at all the characters of the New Testament and look at all the needs that they were in, whether it be those who were barren and couldn't have children, those in the middle of the storm, those who are unrighteous and needed forgiveness, those who were going through sorrow, those that were being intimidated, those that needed to hear the gospel. I tell you, listen, here Paul is now and he's chained down in a dirty dungeon, an ungodly, terrible place there in the dungeon of Philippi. He has a great need in his life. And you know what he did? He prayed. You see, you can find a throne of grace wherever you are, even in a dirty dungeon like he was in. Even in the most, listen, one of the most nastiest places can become a throne of grace for those who know the Lord. If you'll bow your heart and begin to seek Him, God will hear. He'll help you. The Bible tells us in the story in Acts 16 that God heard the prayers of Paul and Silas. And as a result, that prison began to shake. And all the prison doors were opened. And before the night was over, ladies and gentlemen, the jailer got saved and his entire household, and a New Testament church was planted in the city of Philippi. Paul learned that if you have a need in your life, just pray. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, you'll find that Paul was in a region of Asia. And we find that there he got himself in a position of great need. In chapter 1 of verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians, he said, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." How bad was it, Paul? Well, he said, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." In other words, he said, "It got beyond what I could handle." That is, the pressure was so great that I thought I was going to die. But he said, "We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead." He said, "I couldn't trust in myself. All I could trust in was God." And verse 10 says, "He delivered us from so great of death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." And then verse 11 says, "You also helping together by prayer for us." And I love that little phrase there in verse number 11, because it tells me that as Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he was saying, listen, the reason why that I received the help that I did and made it through that terrible experience there in Asia, the reason why is because of folks who were praying. Listen to me now, when you get to praying, God will help us. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You remember the story in Acts chapter number 12, don't you? Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Bible tells us there that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It was the messenger of Satan. It was a demonic attack on his life. The Bible says that the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him and it was causing him all kinds of troubles. He didn't know what to do and didn't know how to get rid of this trouble that he had. So the Bible says that he besought the Lord three times, prayed three times that God would remove this thorn in the flesh. Now listen to me now. That's what you ought to do when you find yourself in a situation like Paul was. You ought to come boldly to the throne of grace and you ought to pray. Now listen, he found the Lord's help. It wasn't the kind of help that he had in mind. What he had in mind was for the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh. But the Lord said, "No, I'm not going to remove that thorn in the flesh." But he said, "I'm going to give you the grace. I'm going to give you the grace to make it through that thorn in the flesh." You know what he said? "My grace, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Folks, listen. As Paul was experiencing this great struggle, this thorn in the flesh, And he began to pray. What he found was grace to help in his time of need. And just like Paul, we're invited in Hebrews 4. We're invited to come to the throne of grace as well. You see, when you look in the New Testament, you'll find the top 10, those who found help when they prayed. Zacharias is number 1. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee is number 2. The publican who cried out for mercy is number 3. Jesus in the garden, overwhelmed with suffering, is number 4. The early church in Acts 4 that cried out to God during a time of intimidation is number 5. Cornelius, who needed to hear the gospel, God heard his prayers and sent Peter, there's number 6. Peter, arrested, thrown into jail in Acts chapter number 12, and the church prayed, is number 7. Tabitha, dead, lying there in the upper chamber when Peter showed up and began to pray and God raised her from the dead, is number 8. The Apostle Paul, whether you look at him in the jail of Philippi, whether you look at him in distress in Asia, whether you look at his thorn in the flesh, and he cried out to God each time and God helped him, there is number 9. You say, well, Pastor, who is number 2? That's you. You. And that is, in Hebrews 4:16, the Bible invites us to come. You can come. That is, in the middle of all your sorrow, in the middle of all your struggle, in the middle of all your sin, your back's against the wall, you're finding yourself in a situation you don't know where to turn to. We have a Savior, died on the cross for our sins, raised the third day, ascended to the right hand, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there he is. And he invites us to come to his throne, to the throne of grace. And if we will, that we'll obtain mercy, and we also will find grace to help in our time of need as well. Let me ask you this question. It's the question I've been asking you. And that is, have you been coming to his throne? That's what God wants you to do. Say, Pastor, I sure would like to come to church. I would love for you to be here. But more importantly than being in this building is for you to come to the throne of God and to seek God and to experience. He wants to show you something. He wants to teach you something. Listen, none of this that you're going through came as a surprise to God. God knew it would happen. God may have allowed it to happen just so that you and I could get alone with him in a time of great need, and seek him with all of our hearts, and encounter him in a fresh, new way that we've been needing to experience for a long time. It's time for God's people to stop playing church and start being the church. And being the church is being a people of prayer that walk with God, that seek God, that experience his presence in real prayer. Let me ask you the question, I'll be done. Are you ready to come to the throne? Right where you're at. To bow your heart and begin to seek God in unrushed prayer. Would you? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you're trying to teach us. God, what you're trying to show us. Father, I pray that you would operate in the hearts of the redeemed so that men and women of God who've been hearing these messages, Father, that they would begin to seek your face, that they would begin to bow their hearts before you in prayer, that they would find a place to get alone with you, and God, begin to walk with you and experience you. And God, I pray, Father, that you would operate in our life in such a way that we, Father, would know what it means to come to the throne and experience your presence. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen.